Deacon and Dad.
Okay, welcome to the show. There was an old nursery rhyme that I used to hear all the time, that saying of sticks and stones will break your bones, with words will never hurt you. Which I didn't believe when I was a kid, and I still don't believe. Because words can be very damaging.
Words matter.
Words matter. And part of, we're going to do a couple of segments in the show about words. But we want to start with, because we're of two generations.
And being both writers.
Yes.
Words actually do mean a lot.
So I wanted to look back at some words, a few words that have over years have developed new meanings. And sometimes when you're talking to somebody, you think you're talking about the same thing, and it turns out it's something different.
Mm-hmm.
Just specifically sort of like cross-culture. Things that mean something in one country mean something totally different in another. And we're going to talk about how those words have changed over both our lifetimes. Because some words that mean different things to me will mean something different to him. So.
Okay, listen. So we have some words. Let's start with a big one, gay.
Okay, so
originally gay means happy.
Right. There are a lot of people who did not know that gay meant happy and carefree, as opposed to a male homosexual.
Right.
So that's a problem if you're having a conversation. Or you find people laughing at when somebody says gay Perry.
Right.
Was a big thing. Or we had
that's
a gay
a great example.
Oh, we gay had a petty. Gay old time.
Right. Older phrases.
So older phrases that meant something totally different. And so that's one of those words that's changed. And sometimes I found myself, not so much lately, but having a conversation about the etymology of words.
Uh-huh.
And how they mean something different now. The big one for me has always been how people of African origin are described in this country.
Uh-huh.
So we've been searching for our identity and how we should be referred. And it's gone through a lot of
gone through changes. Several names.
I mean, there were clearly the pejoratives. But I don't care. I'm going to use the N-word. Okay, we were called niggas. But at one point, especially during the 40s and 50s, white politicians in the South, they couldn't quite say it, so they would say nigra. And so that was the pejorative. So it was, but so they could
now
say
did,
that.
Now, do you think they knew that was Spanish for black? Did they pick that up?
No, but that was when we got to negro.
Negro.
I'm just
right,
saying they would say nigra,
nigra.
As opposed to nigger.
Okay.
Because that was the way that they could.
Wow.
But of course, the original, when we started, when Negro became acceptable as a word, I always found that funny because Negro is black in Spanish.
Right.
So I always preferred black for a couple of reasons. It is descriptive, and it indicates our origin without trying to mush it up as an African-American. Well, Africa's a continent. You know, that's like me being from Indiana and say, I'm a Hoosier American.
I guess you could say that.
I could say that.
You could say that.
I'd have to say that because that's the closest description you can get to me. But I don't know where my people came from in Africa, because it's a big continent and there's 54 countries in Africa. So people, my ancestors could be from anywhere. So, but we are black. That is a distinguishing characteristic.
We are black. I like overall, if you're talking about the diaspora, black.
Yeah.
And as a culture, I would say black. And I think that kind of crystallized for me. I was watching Henry Louis Gates Jr.'s Color, oh, I can't think of the name of the title, Color Around the World.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, and he was interviewing this Mexican young lady, and I forgot, I think it was on the west coast of Mexico, and she said, I'm black. I'd never heard of a Mexican describe themselves as being black. And at that moment, I was like, yes, we are black. There is a commonality in the diaspora of being black, and that traces back to Africa, wherever it's from. But a lot of that is similar. The way we eat, like we were talking about sucking your teeth. That's not necessarily black, but there's certainly people not exclusively black and not exclusively African, but it is people of color.
Yes.
But so black encompasses. This worldview, or my view of black, has expanded into this worldview, not just African American, but that now there is a time, or I find there are times where I will say African American because that is specific to that situation.
Yeah, but
I'm saying I am African American because I don't know necessarily where specifically my ancestors are from Africa. I'm assuming West Coast somewhere. Right. That's probably about as close as I can get. But I know I'm not Haitian American. I know I'm not Jamaican American.
Right.
Or I'm not, you know, Cuban American.
Right.
So that's why I can say African American at some point.
Well, yeah,
depending on the context. But really.
But you know me and all my weird little trivia facts that Barack Obama really is an African American.
But specifically,
he's Kenyan.
Kenyan American.
Okay, but also, if John Kerry had ever been president, his wife, I can't say if she was born in South Africa, but she spent a lot of time in South Africa. So she was, if she had become first lady, she would have been the first African American first lady. But she's clearly not black. So there's that whole.
Well, race is always a gray area anyway.
Yes.
It really is. There is no black and white, pun intended. Okay. So next one is bitch.
Okay, so that is another one of those words that has gone through a change. There was a time when, the real etymology is that it's a female dog.
Right.
Okay, which became an insult. And then it became a real insult referring to women, and you couldn't say that because that was a terrible thing. And then it sort of morphed into everybody was saying it, and sometimes it was okay to say and sometimes it wasn't. It's like the N-word, depending on the context and who says it, is whether or not you could say it.
Right.
And now we're at a point where I don't really know.
Yeah.
I just stopped using it because, frankly, to me, on my own little thing, it's been replaced by dick.
Well, let's back up. First of all, yes, we're not allowed to say bitch.
Right.
There's no reason for us to call anybody a bitch.
Right. I'm
you know,
just saying.
So,
that's
no,
why
we're
I
not
say,
allowed
I
to use it, but
I don't use it.
Other folks
that's
can use
really
it.
That's just really why I don't really use the N-word either, because it just, I can't say it anymore.
Now,
not because of that I'm offended by the word, but as I said earlier, I've lost my black scent. I grew up black. I grew up in an all-black environment. I use what would be called urban American speak, meaning black people, the way they talk to each other. But because of my profession as a broadcaster, I learned to change my voice patterns, and now I've done it for so many years, I can't go back.
So speaking of language and words, now, as you put it, why did Trump's bragging about how he treats women seem to be the final straw that cost him more Republicans turning it up?
Okay, so now I'm going to go
great
into...
Great question.
I'm going into my history nerddom.
All right.
And I'm going to say some things that I can back up historically, but which freaks people out. Okay, the reason...
Well, even with that, let me qualify that by saying the Republicans don't care about facts. They care about money and power. So none of that. So I'm saying you didn't even have to. What you're going to say is actually sound. So it doesn't matter to them. So you don't have to preface that.
Okay. All right. No, but I'm saying it. I'm doing a historical perspective here. Okay. So we know that this country was founded on the premise that the only people who mattered were property owners.
Okay.
And the only people who could own property were white males.
White males.
So that's why they could be slave owners. They could. They had all the power. Women.
That's why white males are considered the norm.
Yes.
Everything else is measured against that.
It's white privilege.
Yes.
And we've had this discussion about why I've stopped using racism as much as I use white privilege. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let's go back and let's categorize property rights on the hierarchical level. Okay, white men are at the top.
Right.
Okay, so now you go down and let's jump to the bottom. So there were slaves, other people of color.
Right.
Poor whites who did not own property. Then women, and white males. So that's the hierarchy.
Right.
Now, as we go up the list of things that Trump has said that have pissed everybody off.
Yes.
He's talked about our president, Barack Obama, not being an American. So he's an other.
Yeah.
He accused Mexicans of being rapists and drug dealers,
right.
So he's offended them. He wanted to ban Muslims, so more other people of color, still lower down on the economic and cultural scale.
Right.
And so he's gone through everybody he could offend.
Even veterans and the military. He's claimed he knows more about ISIS than the generals.
And that our president's stupid, can't make trade deals, and all of the terrible things he said. Okay? But what I'm getting to is now we've gone through all of the, everybody he can assault up the hierarchical chain.
Right.
So just below white men or white women.
Or white women.
And when he insulted white women, this is the top of the property food chain.
Yes.
And you can't do that
because
that's the ultimate property.
Okay. That's
white
good.
Women. I mean, look, black men got lynched and for looking at white women. They were accused of raping white women, and so there's all this thing about. Protect, the Ku Klux Klan was founded, among other things, to protect the sanctity of white womanhood.
Right. You're right. And that's a brilliant observation. It's basically like saying, bitch.
Yeah.
You can't rape our women. You can't objectify our women, but we can.
Yes. But even to make it more sort of problematic about how they had to try to keep control of women when they were willing to let go of all the other property. Black men got the right to vote before white women.
Is that the case?
Yes.
Wow.
There's a 70-year gap.
Wow.
Before women got the right to vote in this country. I mean, we were into the 20th century before they got to
that.
Right. And freed black men,
right.
got the right to vote right after the Civil War.
Wow.
Okay. So, again, what do you prize most? What do you hold dearest to you?
Mm-hmm.
What you hold dearest to you is white womanhood. And that's the last thing you think you can control. And now you can't control that anymore.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but when Donald Trump outed that, saying I treat women like objects and property and I can do anything I want to them, and then... You know, it's like all the white men, the Republicans who have supported, it's like, you outed the secret. You let it out. You said it in public.
Right.
You let people know.
Right. You're not supposed to say that.
You're not
supposed
to say,
we do it.
This was our secret power.
Yes.
You know, you just threw the kryptonite in the middle of our Klan meeting.
You told everybody, right? You told everybody what happened. Yeah. And it was funny because I was one of the news pundits the other night was saying, yeah, this is the first time white men have been treated as an interest group. I said, you know what? You're right. You're fucking right.
Yeah. So I just find it just amazing that this is what he's, where we are in this society. That finally, white men are suddenly like, wait a minute, we're under attack.
Right.
And now it's like, Donald Trump has now got everybody against us. Okay? He's got the blacks against us. He's got the Mexicans against us. He's got the women. I'm just saying he's got the Muslims against us. He's got everybody against us. But now he's got the white women against us. Oh no. Shit. Okay? We got nothing left.
Right, except ourselves.
Yeah, but the younger white males haven't been indoctrinated as much with white privilege. You know, they're sort of like, I mean, you think about gay marriage.
Yeah.
And anybody over 50 was going like, oh, gay marriage. And you talk to anybody under 50 and they go like, huh?
Right. And what's the
deal? Why do I care?
Yeah. Why are we even talking about this?
Why are we even talking about
this? Why is it against the law?
Yeah. That's what, you know. That was my thing that I just found it. That is my historical analysis of why Donald Trump messed up and why I actually think that he is going to lose, because a lot of those women who said they support Trump are going to go into that booth and they're going to start to pull that lever and they're going to go, wait a minute.
So you think
this is a guy who thinks it's okay to grab my pussy?
Yep.
No. You know, right now I don't get paid as much. I have to do three times as much work because, you know, I can't even have a baby without losing my place in line. You know, even though my husband or my boyfriend or whoever took equal part in this conception, but he doesn't get punished for it. I do.
Yeah, right. Right.
Pull the lever.
Well, I hope you're right, because I'm telling you, I'm actually terrified.
Don't be terrified. I can tell you, don't be terrified, because we've gone through a lot of stuff in this country.
Yeah.
And we always come out the other side fine. And we're going to come out the other side of this fine. So, of course, this is being recorded
two days before
the election. So the next time we do a recording, we'll be able to talk about it. But I'm not worried either way.
All right. Well,
I think Hillary's going to win, because I think at the last minute, white women are going to come on and it's like, this dude, no. I put up with my abusive husband. I put up with him leaving me for a younger woman, for his trophy wife. And I got left with no money, and I got left to raise the kids. Screw him. He's on his third wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I have faith in women.
I have faith in women too. I absolutely have faith in women.